Good afternoon. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN Radio. I'm John Williams. Pete Zimmerman's our producer, and you can join us with a question or comment right now. Terry Savage, the financial guru, is on a phone line, and she'll take your comments and questions at 312-981-7200. And then a little later on, we'll have a conversation with some folks who are planning on arts for your kids that sometimes isn't entirely affordable for families that are financially stressed. Maybe we'll do a pay-as-you-go, as-much-as-you-can program. How does that work, and where is that? It's not the first time somebody has tried something like that, and that's something happening in Chicago. Let's talk about that in the next half hour. But we start with Terry Savage. You can read her in the Tribune, and she joins us Wednesdays here at WGN, terrysavage.com. Hi, Terry. Welcome again. How are you?
Oh, always an interesting day, and today even more so, as a matter of fact.
Why do you say that?
Well, the Dow has been down well over 700 points, still down about 600 points. And I had to make a list. I drew a line down the middle of the paper. What's the good news? What's the bad news? The bad news is that the coronavirus cases are not only upticking but setting records. The seven-day average surges 30% from a week ago. And in places
nationally,
like
nationally.
The Northeast, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut say if you're going to fly there, I don't know how they're going to enforce this, but they're going to have 14-day quarantine. So people, that cuts into travel. There's a lot of bad news about the economy. And then, this is on the negative side, you're starting to see analysts say, look at the polls that show the president really might not be reelected. And what would that mean for taxes? That's bad for the market, too, because Bush has promised to raise capital gains. Biden has promised to raise capital gains taxes. However, on the other side, you know this is an election year. And you know that both political parties in Washington are going to go all out to buy your vote. So we're going to have, when Congress, either before they go on vacation, recess, we call it, children, kindergartners in Congress get recess. They are going to come back on July 20th, and they're going to want to do something before the unemployment $600 runs out. So good bet there'll be another stimulus.
You referred to something that dawned on me again the other day, and that is that as much as Illinois has tried to play smart, safe, conservative medically, and we're the beneficiaries of that, we're not having a second spike. But all of our economies are linked together, so if people in Arizona or Florida aren't following the same guidelines, if they suffer, the economy suffers, and then people in Illinois suffer.
Oh, sure. It's a small world after all, as Walt Disney said. And speaking of that, the staffers there are petitioning, please don't reopen Disney parks because the Florida had its largest 5% increase of cases in one day. So, yeah, you're right. It's all part of America. No matter who tries to drive us apart politically or socially or racially or whatever, we're all in this economy together. And we're glad Illinois' cases aren't rising. But boy, to be in Florida or Texas or Arizona, that's scary.
My understanding is that in Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York, they are asking people to, or will tell people to quarantine for 14 days if they come from the states that are seeing an increase.
Exactly, but who knows where the next increase comes from? The point is, this thing is not beaten into the ground, and it's just, we're so accustomed. I'll fly here, I'll go to Florida for a Disney vacation. I'll fly from anywhere to go to New York for a business meeting. It's just not happening now.
Terry, are you optimistic, and should we be hopeful that we see another round of stimulus? $3 trillion is held up in the Senate. President likes it, the Congress, the House likes it.
You know, you got to look at the motivation. This is an election year. They're all up for election, except for some senators. First of all, Congress in the House passed in mid-May something called the HEROES Act, it was not only a second stimulus to more people, including younger children, including teenagers who had been excluded, potentially including seniors who were dependents on their adult children's return. They were really going to pile the money out the door and a number of other things. Mitch McConnell said at that time, we're not doing that. We're going to give relief to businesses so they can reopen, and we're going to give them bonuses for reopening. So it was a standstill. And now you see these polls, and it is political. This is just a commentary on what is. The president was asked, was yesterday, the day before maybe now, in an interview, well, I'm going to make sure we have a very generous stimulus check.
Yep.
So there's a lot of incentive for them to get together and agree about what they're going to push out the door. The timing, John, is so critical, because at $600 unemployment ends at the end of July. Well, that's, you know, like 5 weeks away, and Congress will be out of town from July 3rd through coming back on July 20th. You know, this is pretty critical, and that's going to, there's all kinds of arguments about that $600.
Sure.
Let's be clear.
Well, let's answer this question. I have to pause here. Terry, come back, and then we'll take some calls as well, of course. 312-981-7200. But is it your guess that in August there will be more checks coming in? Will there be another $600 a month for people, a week rather, in August? Will they get this done? Terry Savage, what's your guess? Terry, all the lines are busy, terrysavage.com. But just give me your guess. Will that extra $600 be in there in August?
Yeah, if you're a betting person, there will either be or perhaps both be a $600 extension on the unemployment. That's a big problem in Illinois because so many people, you know, haven't even gotten their first checks yet, but that's another story. And there will also probably be some other form of stimulus, which they will be the headline argument in Congress when they get back on July 20th. They'll leave it to the end. By the way, John, before we go to questions,
yeah,
let me give you four Terry's Tips personal finance bullet points.
Please.
That you might slide by you. Number one, because announced today from the IRS. A lot of people, by the way, have posted on my blog, I haven't got my tax refund. I sent in a paper return in March. Yeah, it's sitting there in a pile because they all went away and IRS people aren't fully back. But the IRS announced that they're going to pay interest on any refunds you haven't received back to April 15th. And they are going to interest for the second quarter this year is 5% compounded daily. And if you don't get your refund into the third quarter, that interest rate will be 3%. So if you haven't gotten your refund check yet, they know it, and they're going to pay you interest, and it will come in a second check, and the interest will be from April 15th. Next point, quickly. If you took a required minimum distribution from your IRA, they've been fiddling around with the rules. The latest from the IRS just 2 days ago. You can return, if you want to, all the RMDs you took because you know none are required for 2020. They've waived the 60-day rule. They waived only back to February rule. They've waived you can't do multiple rollovers. Any money you took out as an RMD, people do monthly checks. You don't want it. You want it to go back in there and grow tax deferred. You can put it all back, but you must do that by, I think it's August 15th. Finally, they're talking about, oh, one more quick thing.
Yeah.
If you have someone in a nursing home, a Medicaid nursing home, and they are taking your mother or father's Social Security check as part of the repayment for the Medicaid nursing costs, they may not keep that $1,200 stimulus check that mom got, okay, unless it puts her over the total asset limit, which is unlikely. So if your mom or dad got a $1,200 stimulus check, you walk into the nursing home and say you're going to report them to the IRS, that goes back into mom's account, you can pay to get her hair done or buy her books or stuff that they don't give her. And finally, don't forget, it's like 6 weeks away, not even, that your tax return is due. It's 3 weeks away. It's July 15th. There is a little bit of talk. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said maybe they'd extend it. But really, we've got the 4th of July holiday in there, and you're going to be looking at the income tax deadline, which was extended from April 15th. So this weekend, this week before the holidays, get your tax return done. Now I'm ready for questions.
I'm just shocked that the IRS and pleased is paying 5% interest back to you because of their delinquency in getting you your refund. That's amazing.
It's set by law, but they never do anything. Well, that's not true. They've been done a lot for people. They've been working like crazy to get stimulus checks out. And yes, and don't tell me that you haven't gotten yours yet. They're still dribbling out. Let's not worry about that until after mid-July. If you haven't gotten your check, then you can post on my blog.
Doug, you're on with Terry Savage. What's your question?
Hi, Terry. I listened to you last week about the about putting in your problem on your website. So I went to the website and I noticed that my name and everything would be all my let's see
Is your name up there?
In the question, you told me to, put the claim number and everything, and in the question box, there's nothing about keeping that confidential. So
I absolutely will erase all that. I'm just looking back at some of my questions here that I've posted. I'm the only one that touches that, and I've been very careful. But you can send me an email, terry@terrysavage.com. It makes it easier for me. This is what I'm doing. I want to tell you all something. I've been the most frustrated as all of you. I know many of you, personally, I feel, and I've heard some horrendous stories. People deserve unemployment and have tried since last March and haven't gotten it. Now, number one, you are going to get it eventually. Number two, I think this has become a horrible political situation, and I think you're about to see this explode in the media. In fact, I know you are, and I know exactly how it's going to happen. Number three, what I'm doing now is taking your email, so you don't have to post on my blog. Send me an email, terry@terrysavage.com. Give me your name, your claimant number, and your phone number, and just four or five lines about, I've been trying to certify, but I couldn't get through, or my PIN. And I am forwarding those to my contact. I don't know if it's doing any good, but I know that I've stirred up some attention politically. So I am forwarding five or six a day.
Wow.
And if you send me an email, that's certainly private. Nobody sees that.
Good luck to you on that, Doug. Thanks for the call. Nick, you're on WGN. What's your question?
I recently got laid off again after the PPP money ran out. So the next day, the day that I was eligible to reapply for unemployment, I did so. And right at the end, when I submitted my information, I was expecting a confirmation page, but nothing came up. So I've been waiting for like 2 weeks for a letter to show up, and it has not done so. Should I just go ahead and just reapply again, or should I just wait? Because there's nobody you can call.
Yeah,
there's nobody you can call. I was told by Rebecca Sisco that if you are late, I mean, I asked that question specifically. In fact, I have my cheat sheet here, and I'm sure that is on this one. And I was told, I was told that you should reopen the same claim. But I don't think it can hurt for you to try and open a claim again. I don't know what to tell you because they're so messed up. I wouldn't know if they had accepted it or not.
I didn't want to muck up the works.
Wait, let me give you this. My question was, what if you were called back to work because your employer gets PPP money and now after 8 weeks of payroll runs out of money and you're laid off again? Answer, they would need to file an additional claim. A claimant can only reopen an existing claim when the date of separation is the same. In this case, the new separation date is different and so would be adjudicated separately and a new claim is required. Yes, go ahead and file that claim.
Okay.
A new one.
Great. Thank you very much.
That's the right answer.
Thanks, Nick. Wow, that's amazing, Terry. Helpful. Kelly, you're on WGN. What's your question for Terry Savage?
I made an error and accidentally filed a no-filer's return for my mother. And I clicked the box saying that she could be claimed as a dependent. And I have been on the phone with the IRS probably for 10 or 12 hours on different occasions. And I keep getting conflicting information because it automatically denies her stimulus check.
Yes, it does. Does she file a tax return?
No. So SSI is her only source of income, and it's automatically deposited.
Well, I think what you're going to have to do next, I don't know that you're ever going to be able to pick up her $1,200. That's an expensive mistake. But next year, when you file her 2021, you will file a 2020 return for your mother, showing her SSI and requesting a claim, a credit for the stimulus check she did not receive, and trying to make it very clear she was not declared as a dependent on your return in either 2018 or 19. Was she not?
No, she was not. Okay. She was never claimed as anyone ever.
I'm sure that no matter how long you're trying to get through the IRS, that nobody there has. They're so busy trying to get these first checks out that they're not going to fix problems now. They plan to fix them next year for people who didn't get enough, for example, by giving them a credit against next year's taxes. Now, she won't owe taxes next year, but maybe she will get a refund based on the fact that she didn't get the stimulus check.
And now with the second credit, like, does that automatically kick her out to that too? No.
While I was talking, I was thinking, whoops. And is that going to mean if there is a second one that they'll rely on the same paperwork? And the answer is, I don't know, because the way the next stimulus check is constructed, it may be applicable to people who weren't qualified before.
Right.
For instance, teenagers.
Good point. Yep.
So you'll have to see. Let's see what comes out.
I appreciate it. And then just one more quick. They told me to file an amended, and one of the people I talked to, a 1040X, is that, should I do that just so that's in the paperwork, saying that was an error?
I don't know. I remember seeing 1040X. I don't know. If someone told you to do it, no reason not to. Someone from the IRS.
Good luck to you. Sorry about that, Kelly. It's amazing to me that there's not an edit box, or whoever designed the web didn't anticipate that people make mistakes like this all the time. That should not cost you $1,200.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, it's 12:30. Terry, can you give us another minute on the other side of news?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
TerrySavage.com is her website. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. This is WGN. It's 12:33. This is WGN. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch. Pete Zimmerman's our producer. Terry Savage joins us Wednesdays at this time. Lots more questions from our listeners for you, Terry. Ready for round number three?
Let's, here we go.
Let's go to
Jeopardy.
Susan, you're on WGN. Hi, Susan.
Oh, hello. It's so good to have someone to actually speak with. Real briefly, my last day of work was in March. It's been now 12 weeks. I received the debit card, the UI finding, saying the determined amount of benefits. I reapply, recertify every 2 weeks. I continue to receive a letter every alternating week saying my record or their records don't agree with mine. I am in my 70s. I work to supplement my Social Security. And there is a small pension. My question is, are you allowed, am I entitled to unemployment benefits because I do have a pension, or is that why I'm denied?
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. I was just about to give you instructions on how to get to me, but are you unemployed from the same company from which you receive a pension?
Yes.
You do not qualify.
Denied.
It's a weird quirk. I mean, obviously, let's assume you were making $500 a week, but now your pension is only like $350 a month, so maybe you were making a couple thousand dollars. If you got, again, that's just such a weird quirk that I know it because it's come up a few times and I've asked. If you get a pension from the company that you're unemployed from, I'm not sure the grammar's right, you don't qualify for unemployment, though.
Even though small, and other people who work there also receive pensions, but from other companies, so they're
from
entitled
other companies.
To it.
If you received it, you know, you're unemployed from ABC company, but you receive a pension from years ago at XYZ, that wouldn't impact it, and Social Security wouldn't impact it. But a pension from the company from which you're unemployed disqualifies you.
Well, when I get to be king, you'll be able to keep the larger of the two.
Yeah, because I'd rather be I'd trade it in right now because I'd be making way more under the current plan.
But so how are you getting your pension? But how are you getting a pension if you're unemployed? Which
because you retired and then you came back and worked part time, right?
Right, I did. I was forced into retirement and then came back on a part time basis.
I think what you should do, by the way, I want to make a suggestion. I'm sure your HR is it a big enough company that it has an HR department?
It's a small. Company.
Okay. Well, I think you should tell the boss exactly what I just told you. I'm sure he didn't know it or she didn't know it.
Right.
So I think you should say, is there any way during this next few months that you can give me more part-time work, increase my salary? I can't qualify for unemployment because of this. A lot of people did take a buyout and then come back to work on a freelance or part-time basis, save you're older so they don't need to give you health care benefits because you've got Medicare and so on and so forth.
Right,
So people do come back to work for their old companies because the companies liked them and wanted them back. Well, that's what I'm suggesting you do is talk to the boss or the HR department.
Good luck to you on that, Susan. Thanks for the call. Otherwise, you wouldn't have gone back if you'd seen this thing coming. It would not have been worth it.
Of course not. Yeah, but nobody knew. That's something I never knew about, pension from your own company.
Imagine that. Trish, you're on WGN. What's your question or comment for Terry Savage?
My question is, there's been a lot of discussion about people who won't go back to work because they're making too much on unemployment. But for restaurant servers and bartenders, I think they get paid less than minimum wage, and then they make it up in tips. So if your employer has PPP money, are they just giving you the minimum wage, or are they also, averaging the tips?
Right.
I don't have the specific answer on that, but I'm going to give you an astounding number from a University of Chicago study, another cheat sheet I have here. It says that 68% of workers who are eligible for unemployment checks are getting benefits that exceed their lost earnings, 68%.
Wow.
And half of those getting benefits are receiving at least 34% more than their lost earnings. From an Econ 101 point of view, that's a tremendous disincentive not to want to go back. Your unemployment compensation is based on the income that your employer pays FUTA taxes on. So it depends on how you were paid, how much money you get from the state. Forget the $600, but the amount of regular basic state unemployment benefits is based on your earnings in a base period. The last 12 months, you had to have earned $1,600 and $440 outside of the highest quarter, so it's not just 1 month of $1,600 and that's it. And so all those calculations about what your unemployment check would be are based on reported earnings. If you're self-employed, they use your 1090, they use your IRS tax return. But for workers, they use reported earnings. And so different employers, pay out tips. A lot of people, I'm sure, pocket tips, but they live on that money and they're not getting it. But in fact, it wasn't reported earnings. Their unemployment's not based on that.
Is this all a reminder to you, Terry, and to all of us, that while unemployment was low, people weren't making that much money?
While unemployment was low, people weren't saving that much money.
Okay, but fine. But my point is that if the unemployment benefits plus $600 is putting a lot of people over, you said 60%+ what they were previously earning,
yes,
then
absolutely.
Most folks weren't earning much money to begin with.
It seemed like an abstract concept, a minimum wage of $15. And economists said, well, that won't do any good because when you pay people more, then prices go up, and so they won't live any better, so that's just inflationary, so don't raise the minimum wage. What really needed adjusting, probably will happen now, is the disparities in income between the higher-paid workers and the lower-paid workers. Now, higher-paid workers, no argument. The top 10% pays 90% of the personal income taxes. There are a lot of economic arguments. But the reality of life was we have had a lot of people who do very important jobs, and by the way, they've been revealed in the last 3 months how significant they are to the economy, who are also among the lowest paid. And I think that's going to have to change one way or another. But yeah, you're right, John. There are a lot of people getting by on not a lot of money.
I was surprised to see how many people at the Chicago Tribune, full-time reporters at the Tribune, are making more money on unemployment than they are being paid by that newspaper. Joan, you're on WGN Radio. What did you want to say?
Yes. Hi, King John. Hi, Gary. I have two quick questions. Number one, I did receive my $1,200 stimulus check. Now, my question would be, do I have to declare that on 2020 taxes?
No. That's a gift.
Oh, okay. Nope. I like gifts like that. Okay.
And it won't impact anything like Medicare premiums for Part B or anything else. It's just your money.
My money. I like that. Okay. Second question, real quick, is we have been banking with a certain bank for like 20 years. They have recently sold out to a credit union. I don't have any experience with credit unions. Would you suggest I change banks or stay with the credit union?
That's really interesting. Theoretically, honestly, there is very little difference in the insurance coverage because CUNA, the National Credit Union Association, has insurance in the same way that FDIC has insurance for banks. So I don't think that's an issue. I'm fascinated. I don't know of any bank that is sold to a credit union. Sometimes credit unions pay you a little bit more because they don't do the kind of advertising and marketing and so forth that banks do. So you might get a little higher interest rate on deposit. if you were my best friend, I would say to you, no, I don't think there's any particular difference, and they might even have a more personal touch than a bank, but you should go in and meet with them. And if it's inconvenient now, whether if they've closed branches or something like that, then you might want to go to a bank that's closer to you. But there's no reason based on safety to decide on whether you use a credit union or a bank.
Good luck, Joan. Thanks for that question. And if we all go quickly, we can do one last one this day. Elizabeth, what was your question for Terry Savage?
Hi. We did our RMD from our savings retirement, and we had to pay a tax amount of money in order to fulfill that properly.
What's your question?
I got the question. Elizabeth, you can put the money that you got back in, but the taxes you paid, consider those a tax, the taxes with the government, and you will claim it as part of a credit for taxes paid when you file next year's return. So maybe the next time you take RMDs in 2021, you don't have to withhold so much. But if the withholding was taken out, you do not get to put that amount when you roll it back into your IRA. So if you took out $100 and they kept $20 for taxes, you can put $80 back into your IRA. Then the $20 will be a credit for next year.
Elizabeth, thanks for the call. You are like a contestant on Jeopardy. You know the answer before I get done asking the question.
I pushed the buzzer too fast. John, I love being on with you because we get to talk to so many people. I'm going to say one quick thing. I know you're against the bill. People have asked me, why am I doing this? I'm doing this about unemployment because I'm so angry nobody's paying me. My email is terry@terrysavage.com. I stay up late at night. I take your email with your claimant number, your phone number, the contact number, they call you over the weekend, and your name, and your brief story, and I am passing those along. I have no idea if that's going to help or not. I've since talked to some politicians who say that you need political pull and have offered to help me. I'm doing what I can, but we need to put some pressure on the governor, it's not political, but to get this thing fixed. 3 months is enough of a mess for people who, like those called today, who haven't gotten any of their benefits yet.
It's tragic. All right, Terry, well done. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for taking our call, and thank you for your time and your efforts. It's 1243. That's terry@terrysavage.com. Terrysavage.com is our website. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Here's a Business Minute.
Wind the clock. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, your daily roundup of Chicago area business news. Where's the beef? Turns out it's in Kildare. Wendy's founder Dave Thomas's grandson is opening his first restaurant, Fresh Stack Burger Company, in Kildare. It was delayed by the pandemic. Sean Thomas started working at Wendy's when he was 13. The Shedd Aquarium will begin welcoming back members and sponsors Wednesday, July 1st, now that we're in Phase 4. The general public reopening will be coming July 3rd. They'll be using a timed admission to help control the crowds. And Cards Against Humanity says it's hiring a firm to improve all HR, hiring, and management practices at the company. That's after co-founder Max Temkin stepped down from the bawdy, popular card game company after accusations about a toxic workplace culture at its office in Chicago. That's the Wintrust Business Minute. I'm Steve Bertrand.
Orion Samuelson's watching the agribusiness front. Go ahead, O.
Okay, not much of a change in the prices on the agribiz fund. I would say that we're looking at maybe a quarter to three quarters of a cent a bushel on both wheat and on the hundredweight of livestock. Also, not very much of a change in the market there. The company, or I should say the court-appointed mediator, for the lawsuits filed against Roundup maker Bayer has settled 95,000 Roundup cancer claims, and Bayer will pay the closure to approximately 75% of the current Roundup litigation involving approximately 125,000 filed and unfiled claims overall. Total amount of the payment so far, according to the court-appointed mediator, is $10.1 to $10.9 billion that Bayer will pay in that cancer litigation for Roundup. And we're getting to the beginning of the county fair season here in the Midwest. But it'll be a quiet season so far, as most county fairs have been postponed till next year or canceled, whatever you want to term it. And that's certainly the case. And, of course, state fairs, Wisconsin and Illinois and Indiana and Iowa have all been canceled. And to those who have emailed me about the sandwich fair, they'll be making their final decision on holding the sandwich fair or not the middle of July. So we'll wait for that from the folks who make the sandwich fair what it is. That's your money on 720 WGN.
1249, you're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN Radio. Here's a press release from the Hyde Park Art Center, the renowned nonprofit hub for contemporary art on the south side of Chicago. They are proud to announce that its entire online summer class term and children's creative camp will be operated under a Contribute What You Can model, enabling its art offerings to be truly accessible to all. Pay what you can. Kate Lorenz is over there. She joins us on WGN. Kate is the Hyde Park Art Center Executive Director. Hi, Kate. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm well. Thanks for having me.
What a great idea. What an unfortunate, maybe, necessity. Tell me what you folks do over there. What are the sorts of programs that the Hyde Park Art Center has?
Sure. We're as the press release said, a hub. Our mission is to really make Chicago a place where artists can thrive, and we take a really broad view of what it means to be an artist, from both working professional world-renowned artists who are showing their work in our exhibitions or making work in our residency program in studios on site. But we also welcome you or I who are learning to make art for the first time and are wanting to be part of a creative community. So we have a pretty broad education program, from four-year-olds to high school students to adults of all ages that are making work together in a variety of media.
No kidding. So as an adult, if I were interested in pursuing something artistic, you would have a class or a program for me?
We would have myriad classes and programs for you, really from beginner to, like I said, working professionals. Ceramics, printmaking, digital photography, painting, drawing, quilt making, you name it.
Hmm. So then how many people use this hub of yours?
We see about 45,000 people a year through our doors for all those different reasons I named. We're also a bit of a community center, so people come just to hang out, grab a cup of coffee. We have a couple thousand people a year in our school, in our kind of art school for all ages.
So who pays and what happens differently now?
Well, when the pandemic hit, we've been experimenting with this model thanks to some philanthropic support for a couple years. And when the pandemic hit, we really saw a tremendous and increased need in the community. A lot of people were experiencing financial hardship. Our teaching artists who are gig workers, were we really wanted to maintain as much employment for them as possible. So when we moved all of our programming online, we decided to kind of open the doors as widely as possible, knowing that our kind of first obligation is to kind of the social good in the community, and have made it, as we said, a pay what you can model. So that means that people can self-select their financial capacity and how much they're able to contribute for their class. We've had, since the pandemic hit, about 750 people enroll and register for courses. And they're really paying across the board. Some are really using it as a chance to give back and make it available for others, and are giving kind of more than the suggested tuition. And others are truly there and are able to access it for free.
It's an
and
honor
everything
system,
in between.
Huh? I don't presume
it's an honor system.
Yeah, you're not asking for tax or other kinds of information. You know, it's
right.
Funny because some music artists have done this in the past, put CDs up online and said, pay what you think it's worth. Some people give $10, some people give nothing, some people give $100.
Yeah, absolutely. We looked at kind of those models, and you know, it's happened in the corporate sector too. I know a Panera Bread experimented for a while with a pay what you can cafe model. As far as we know, we don't know of another kind of school that's operated on this model. So we're learning a lot by kind of launching it at scale virtually during this pandemic.
Yeah, will this only be then for virtual engagement? It's not for coming in and doing a brick and mortar sort of interaction.
We actually have about 20% of our program brick and mortar on site on this model as well. And we have a vision and a plan to kind of scale that in the coming years to make our whole model on this what we think is a very economically just model.
No kidding, really. So after the pandemic, you'd like to continue to do it, pay as you go, pay what you can.
We'll be able, we'll see how it goes. We definitely will be continuing to offer, like I said, about 20% of our model, and we're scaling up as fast as we can.
Well, I wouldn't blame you if you changed your mind because it's not viable, but I like the idea of testing it, and if it could go, then why not, right?
Absolutely. And we are seeing, it's amazing how many new people are able to participate, and we're seeing a lot of, especially in this moment, you called it an honor system, but we really also think of it as a social contract of people who don't use it but think it's important and valuable are able to support it and are supporting it to make it possible.
Can you give me an example of how somebody is using it, either therapeutically or creatively? I mean, who's coming to you and what are they doing?
You could actually visit our website. We have a myriad of classes online, and it really is a lot of adults and families who are kind of craving community. Everything from working artists who are taking grant writing classes to how to present their practice in a professional setting to one of our most popular programs right now that is make-do quilting that is truly like a quilting circle. And people are able to are kind of getting creative at home when they're confined in a way that we're not used to.
You know what I've been doing more during the crisis is drawing wiener dogs.
There you go.
I have some colored pencils and paper, and I have a wiener dog at home, and I've been drawing a lot of wiener dogs, but I can't say I especially know what I'm doing. Would you have a class for me?
We should probably make one. I'd love to hear more about your particular interest in wiener dogs.
Well, say it wasn't a wiener dog, although mine is, but I mean, I think everybody has a dog they love, and everybody would love to better be able to draw their pet. They don't know what they're doing. If you did a thing where you taught people how to draw their pets, I'll bet, boom, that would go.
There you go. You should probably sign up for our figure drawing class. That's certainly a figure.
I guess that would be the same thing. I like my idea. Draw wiener dogs with John. But they all sound like great ideas. So then how do I do any of this? Where do I go?
Go to our website, www.hydeparkart.org. In our education section, you'll click through some links, and there's a whole series of offerings. Actually, our class term is starting this week, so there's a lot of this is a good time to check it out.
Is it hydeparkart.org?
Hydeparkart.org.
And one last thing, I don't presume it requires any residency. Is everybody eligible for this?
Nope. Yeah, one thing we're learning from this virtual world that we're in is we're really able to, geography is no longer an issue. So yeah. We've got kind of former community members who are around the globe that are logging and enjoying the community. So that's right. There's no limits there.
Great idea. Congratulations, and congratulations in advance. I like the sound of this, Kate.
Thanks, John.
Kate Lorenz over at Hyde Park Arts Center, Executive Director. This is WGN.